Good morning, everybody. We pulled a little switcheroo on you. Remember, Ian was on the Monday show, so now we got the Monday crew on the Wednesday show. Take us home, Arlene, Coach Dub. You guys have to know by now, $1 for 4 months, Inside Texas, best sale ever in the history of sales. Come join us, guys. Spring ball's wrapping up, but we also got baseball number one, who, man, if you guys missed the Texas State game last night, you missed a hell of a game, grand slam in the ninth. Yeah. This team's special, guys. You might, if you haven't started watching Texas baseball, go ahead and start. They're going to be good. Guys, this is also cool. 3 p.m. Friday, Texas is going to play Texas A&M. They had a rough start, but they're on a heater. And, of course, we know the situation with Coach Schloss. Come hang out, guys. Inside Ultimate Tailgate Giveaway presented by Academy. You can win a Blackstone Griddle, Yeti Cooler, Texas Flag Canopy, 2 University of Texas Folding Chairs, and 2 Yeti Ramblers. Guys, no purchase necessary to enter or win. 1 entry per person, and you got to be present at the tailgate. And that tailgate's looking like it'll be in the berm behind left center field scoreboard and the UT tennis courts right off of Kamal Street. So come hang out, guys, 3 p.m., and then, of course, hang around and stay for the game. It'll be fun. Good morning, fellas.
Good morning, morning.
I'm sure. Yep, Roaster, there you are. I was going to say, what's up, Roaster? Yeah, Eric just dropped some team intel. And we're going to talk about it. I'm excited. It's wrapping up, man. It's kind of sad.
One more practice,
and then just a scrimmage, and then fan day, brothers. All right. Let us begin. Well, I want to talk about this first off, Eric. You freaked me out with your On Ryan Niblett title the other day, but then it was all good stuff. So what's going on with Niblett? We know he's kind of been bouncing all around.
Right, you freaked yourself out by not remembering. If it's on and then
it's gonna be positive,
then it's good. If it's
yeah,
just
but it's
name,
still
freaks no, me out. No. Yeah, he's moving back to offense. They want to make him more of a gadget guy. You know, when they pulled off the Keelan Marion kid out of BYU, you kind of had to figure they had something up their sleeve, maybe another portal kid or. I think they just figured, hey, you know, we've already got Ryan Niblett on the roster. Why go spend this money on a BYU kid, even if Ryan's only 8/10 of that kid, which that remains to be seen. Ryan's probably a better athlete than him, just because Ryan's probably a better athlete than almost every other college football player. Why not just move him back over there? I think, he was actually doing pretty well at Star. But, you know, that's a tough position to learn, especially having played DB for the first time since high school. I had low expectations for him this year. I think that, you know, the fact they had Grayson Littleton at Star and Ryan Niblett, they could compare side by side. Let's see, because most value out of the roster is let Littleton develop there for the future. Move Niblett back to offense, get explosive. He's already at punt returner. He's still an NFL athlete. Now carve out a role in which the NFL finds him attractive, like they've done with Keelan Robinson, like they'll probably end up doing with Trey Wisner if Trey Wisner is not viewed as a full-time running back in the NFL. He's got a bright – and then use them like they did Silas Bolden, or at least the idea of Silas Bolden. I think they have a couple regrets about last year, one of them not using Silas Bolden enough, a couple others maybe on special teams. They're just trying to use – they're trying to get as much out of Niblett as they can. They absolutely love him. They love his selflessness. They love his toughness. They love his speed. They love everything about him. They think he's an NFL dude. Now they're just finding out a way that the NFL is going to, catch their eyes on him.
Yeah. And you had a note on Keelan Robinson, too. Same thing. I think Keelan thought about, what did you say here, going to Texas State, decided to stick around.
That was the rumor on him. Yeah, he was, he wanted to be a lead running back, and he didn't think he was going to have the chance to do it at Texas. And then they said, hey, look, this is what we're going to do. Put your trust in us. He ended up getting drafted in the fifth round by being a Swiss Army knife. So I think Ryan Niblett, that's what he's going to be, is a Swiss Army knife. But again, this is not like, it's not – they're just trying to get him on the field. Like I said, when they move into defense, they're just trying to get him on the field any way they can. They love him.
Coach.
Yeah, you know what? Mentioning Grayson Littleton, Mr. Bishop was on Jermaine Bishop was on campus the other day. This past weekend, he kind of mentioned Grayson Littleton a little bit. He had a certain swagger already. Already looked like he was in the fold already, right? So maybe he's developing a lot faster than maybe most people thought. And so that's a good sign for him. But Niblett can be used anywhere, and he's selfless. So I love that about him, that he'll go back to offense and compete. Just find a way to get him on the field, because you want those type of dudes on your team and on the field, because they're going to help you win.
Yeah, we've had some people say, you know, if he's an NFL player, you know, maybe he should, you know, transfer somewhere else and go to a different school and learn to play wide receiver or DB. You know, if you're going to come to Texas and just try to out-athlete everybody, you better be Travis Hunter, because there are people everywhere. Yeah. You know, at corner that have been playing corner. If you look at safety and Xavier Filsimi, he's been playing safety since he was only a junior in high school, which is a much bigger head start than Ryan Niblett had, and he's still behind the curve and had to learn. So it's just, you know, Niblett's in a tough spot in that guys already have skill developed at those positions. You know, wide receiver's pretty booked the way they've recruited. Cornerback is booked the way they've recruited. But he's still an NFL athlete. He's got NFL traits, you know, in a number of different ways. Maybe not skill specific to one offense or defensive position, but he's an NFL player. They just want to get him on the field. I love it. You know, and then you need guys like this on the team. That guy's going to set the tone on special teams.
Yeah, you also knew when Keelan came on the field, fireworks were about to happen. There was a point in Keelan's season where he had like seven runs and four touchdowns. Like his conversion rate was absolutely insane. Also, does that mean we feel a little bit better about nickel depth too, to be able to even make that move? Because at first it seems like we were just trying to port bodies.
Well, again, I don't have high expectations for Niblett for this year at Star. I've been saying that just because there's so much to learn. He hasn't even been playing defensive back. It's a tough enough transition going from corner to star, going from running back to star. That's not going to happen overnight. That's why I was saying you got to be Travis Hunter to make that switch. But, you know, I feel like they felt Grayson Littleton and Niblett were kind of even as far as when they would be ready to hit the field. So might as well, you know, you're not going to move Littleton offense, so you might as well move Niblett back. I'm still trying to figure out what's going to happen at star. Wardell Mack would start if they had to play today, but I'm still waiting to see what happens when Derek Williams comes back, and maybe they can get Jelani to look at it again. I don't know what's going to happen. They probably have better depth at safety than they do star. And so that might point Jelani back in the direction of star. But I think Jelani's preference is safety. I don't blame him. As we always talk about it, these guys naturally get better football players, become better football players when they move from star to corner, whether it's Jade or star to safety, whether it's Andrew Mukuba. And by the way, Andrew Mukuba, I think, is going to be a star in the NFL. These third round mocks on him, you know, I think I would draft them much higher. I don't feel great about star depth right now, honestly, just because I feel great about the future of it. It's kind of like saying, you know, before they had injuries at tight end, I feel great about the future of tight end, but we're talking about trying to win a national championship this upcoming season. I don't feel great about depth there, but also everything we know about the staff, they're not going to leave anything to chance. They brought in a new kicker, a tight end. I mean, look what they've done in the portal. Are they really going to run out Wardell Mack, first time starter, at one of the toughest positions to play in football? I'm skeptical of that.
Yeah, I can see that. That's tough. It's the one of the hardest positions, man. That's tough. Could you have Gilbo the time going back and forth, and could you trust some of the younger corners playing maybe?
You know, maybe that's something. That's a good question. I just don't know. I just know they're fully bought into Gilbo at corner right now. But, you know, they get to August, Kobe Black's balling out. You know, we've been hearing good things about Warren Roberson. If they get three that they feel really good about at corner, they might say, hey, look, Jalen, this is probably your position in the NFL anyways. Let's just keep you there. I don't know. That's definitely a possibility worth looking at. We have heard good things about Kobe Black and Warren Roberson late.
Love it.
All right, we're getting some real healthy culture in here.
We're giving the whole away. This thing cost a dollar, and we're giving it away. 1,300 articles. That's at least probably 1,400 articles by the time things get rolling in the span of 4 months for $1. And we're just sitting here giving it away. Holy crap.
Use your $1, folks.
Let's go.
You'd make a terrible prostitute, Connor.
Nobody wants to leave Texas because they can all get developed for the NFL.
It's true.
Now we're officially in that tier.
This is just color that I'm getting that's, you know, playing out, and obviously, right? I mean, Malik Agbo and Bert Auburn are the only two that left in the spring window. And, you know, they weren't going to play. That makes sense. But nobody wants to leave. And, you know, honestly, people haven't really wanted to leave since Sark got there. You know, I talk about it a lot. After the 2021 season, they went 5-7. Had the culture been bad there, you would have seen guys fleeing left and right.
Yeah.
they still had to have tough talks. They went 5-7. The future was not all that bright, at least if you go by a win-loss record. That was a major sign to me that Sark had things going. And now that they're winning and developing guys at a high level, going to the NFL left and right, they really don't want to leave now. And why would they?
And you said, too, it's not just a 3-and-done mindset, because that can be kind of mercenary, too, that they're looking at guys like Barron and Collins and Broughton, who are longer development curves, too.
Yeah, they're buying themselves time with these development, and the guys aren't getting antsy. They're seeing Jahdae Barron is about to go in the first round, and when he won the Thorpe Award, and he was a 5-year player. And what did he do? He put his trust in the coaches. And he's being rewarded for it. You know, Jahdae Barron wanted to leave after 4 years. Everybody wants to leave as soon as they can, but he made the conscious decision to come back, develop a little bit further, get to play in a better, ideal scenario to catch the attention of GMs and scouts. And his faith in the staff was rewarded. And, the guys are seeing that, but it's not just them. Alfred Collins and Vernon Broughton, they could have left after 2022. What was it, 2022? And they still had a number of bodies in front of them. They still had coming to the 2023 season, they still had T'Vondre Sweat and Byron Murphy. They could have left before that season, but they didn't. They stuck it out. Here they are. Alfred's going to get drafted in the second round, probably. Vernon's going to go third or fourth. Yeah. So, it doesn't have to happen overnight. So, a lot of times these young kids, and I don't necessarily blame them, we're all like that at that age, they start seeing greener pastures. But now it's staring them in their face. Man, it's too much of a risk to leave Texas. If I become a starter, there's a good chance I'm going to get drafted.
Exactly.
Sark is making it transactional, basically. Like we always talked about how Saban made it transactactional, and Urban Meyer made it transactional. Guys are going to stick around a little bit longer than they would if they were at a school that didn't have the track record putting guys in the NFL.
Yeah, and we're holding up on our end of the transaction, right? Like you're getting guys in the NFL. A lot of coaches try that mindset without the results, and it creates mutiny immediately.
Yeah, you can preach that model all day, development to NFL path, but you don't have a track record of doing it. Then it's like, okay.
Yeah, who cares? Yeah. So it's impressive. What's going on in actual practice? Just kind of how we feeling as things are winding down. They're trying to keep the energy up, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, Sark has been saying, run through the tape, finish strong. The most recent practice on Tuesday was full pads and thud tempo, but thud tempo is still physical, and that's going to get you. You got to come correct for that. Otherwise, you're going to get your bell rung. They played a lot of ones and twos. They weren't getting nearly as deep in the depth chart as they had earlier in spring. You weren't seeing the threes and fours out there. That's going to, spark intensity and competition. He said that, nobody's position is safe. Still got to compete. He wants to see intensity. He said, look, everybody's going to expect Texas to be one of the, everybody's going to rank Texas one, which after this spring portal period probably makes the most sense, two or three, but it won't matter when they walk into Columbus, so stay focused. This is a very similar statement to what he had last year. That was one of the keys he had for all last year was keeping them focused because they knew expectations were going to be really high. After making the semifinals the year before, expectations are going to be even higher now. And I think he still has the same concern about making sure they don't get complacent because of what he's put in place. I don't think that he has to be concerned other than it's his job to monitor that daily, but I think he's got that pretty much on autopilot. And I don't want to say autopilot. He would hate that term, but I mean, it's running on its own right now. The machine is taking over.
Right. That's what he's trying to do. Luckily Ohio State will also be ranked 1, 2, or 3. So luckily they will have that there.
Because anybody that ranks Ohio State number one with a first time starter at quarterback,
they are.
Well, so many key.
They won last year. They won last year, Aaron.
That's not mad.
They're not going to fall off nearly as much as Michigan, especially since they're not losing their head coach and all. But they lost a lot of coordinators. Defensive line is a whole lot different than it was last year.
Yeah.
Still have good secondary. Still have good linebackers and all that. Offensive line is moving. I mean, it's huge. Dontavious Jackson was one of the probably three most important players on their team towards the end of the season. So they've got a lot to replace. Not Dontavious Jackson. Oh my God, Donovan Jackson. Remember Dontavious, the big linebacker out of was it Elsick or one of those A-Leaf schools? Yeah, Dontavious.
I did want to ask you about running back, and then we'll keep it moving. Christian Clark tried out with the ones at running back. He said not to read too much into that Trey Wisner would still be the number one as of today. So what happened with the Gibson arc? because earlier in spring it was all about like, man, Gibson looks good, man. So is it just Trey Wisner being Trey Wisner, man?
You know, the Gibson arc was more about my expectations going into spring, and admittedly, I haven't heard quite as much about Gibson as I expected. That's why I asked about him last night, and that I threw a little I threw his name in there towards the end of that because I did ask about him. He said, you know, Wisner, Clark, and Gibson all look good. You know, I don't know. I think that, you know, we talk about Clark all the time as far as being a little bit raw, but probably having the most upside in the room just as far as his natural ability. You know, we talk about that a lot too, is running backs are born. You could teach anybody where to go, but when it gets off schedule, can they make something? You know, can they see daylight and get to it? Clark has the ability to find daylight that, you know, I don't think anybody's had on the roster since Bijan. You know, a little bit raw coming back from injury. They're probably trying to get him a little work. And at the same time, Trey Wisner, who we know is took a beating last year. And he's much more proven at this point.
Cool. You know, see at the bottom here, we talk about the transfer portal poll. We're going to get right back to that, which will be fun. But first, guys, Academy Sports and Outdoors is your new home for Jordan gear. Get some today and take flight. On the court, off the court, and above the court. Unleash your greatness with head-to-toe Jordan gear for the entire family, available in-store and at academy.com. Elevated styles and shoes for everyone, unstoppable value every single day. Plus, Academy offers easy ways to shop and save time, like free one-hour in-store or curbside pickup on academy.com orders. Or choose same-day delivery powered by DoorDash. You can order at 4 p.m. and get it by 8 p.m. Check out our full Jordan selection today at Academy Sports and Outdoors.
Hey, Academy saved my banking yesterday. I had to go pick up a piece of furniture. It was raining, and you just can't put your faith in people that work anymore. So I had to, instead of going to, depending on the furniture people to wrap the piece properly, I stopped and got a heavy-duty tarp and blasted through the rain perfectly fine with that tarp. So thank you, Academy. Thank you for being nearby. And so now, you know, Living Spaces. Did you know Living Spaces has a full bar in it?
No.
they've got a play area and a bar in it, so you can dump the kid, dump the husband, the wife can go spend all the money. By the time that the wife
comes back to
the husband, he's very buzzed he's buzzed and ready to part with his credit card.
I was gonna say the husband will be like, yeah, we can get the couch, babe.
So living spaces, they know what they're doing.
Sharp. All right, we had a poll on the board. The question was, what grade do you give Sark and the staff for this portal class? We'll answer with our things, and then I'll give you guys the results later. But what's your decisions, guys?
Charles, what you got?
Look, I love it, right? You had two big bodies in the trenches. One who I think could probably be a starter, and Marad Watson. I hope I pronounced his first name right, but he's an absolute stud, right? You got LaVon Johnson, who probably will come in and probably be one of the strongest guys on the team, according to people who knew him at Maryland. He's a super strong guy. So you add some guys who have played in the trenches. You got your kicker, and you got your veteran tight end who has done it and can fit in this offense fairly well. So Sark continues to address needs, right? But he also fixed it with guys who has playing time left, eligibility left, right? So for me, I'm going to give it an A because you addressed your needs, but you got more than 1 year rentals at the, especially in the trenches. So that's where I stand. And with the receiver, too. So, yeah, I'm going to give it an A.
So, me, as far as positions we needed defensive tackle, and we got 58 defensive tackles in the portal. Like you said, with eligibility, that matters too, right? Yes. We needed a kicker. We were able to get that. And we needed a tight end. And I really love injuries. So, as far as filling spots, I think we nailed it. We're still kind of looking out for that elusive potential receiver. I think that kicks it to the next category. I think what, like, the B category people are probably thinking is, like, we don't have, like, I don't know if there was, like, a Makuba name or a Bond name, that kind of thing. But as far – you have to look at it as needs and what was filled.
Right.
It takes it to that. And also, man, it felt like every defensive tackle that even came in the portal went to Texas. So that's also a crazy part, too. So – you know, I am Texas homer, so, and I do like to avoid being a homer, but I have to give it an A in that regard, even though, like, a top billing name is probably what are holding some people back.
Yeah. It's an A all day. I mean, getting Marad Watson, not only a quality guy that can become a starter, you know, Charlie's watched him a lot more than me, but thinks he can maybe be a three-year player at D-tackle is really unheard of. So you get a stud at D-tackle, which is tough enough to do. Then he has multiple years left. That's a major boost. Give me that. That man is, let's just, you love Andrew Mukuba. That's bigger than getting Mukuba, yeah. And certainly Isaiah Bond for obvious reasons. That's massive. The tight end was massive. Now he's got multiple years, but based on the way they use tight end, he's probably going to be gone after this next season. He'll get his 50, do enough blocking. He'll get schemed open. He's a good athlete. If you've seen him run in the open field, it'll surprise you. That guy's probably gone, but still, it's nice. It's a luxury to have him. I'd probably split reps, receptions to Jordan Washington, try to get injuries back for another year. but yeah, we're waiting to see if they can get that explosive receiver. I like Mosley. I liked hearing Sark talk about how they had a thorough evaluation on him in high school. They were recruiting him, so they knew that they know the makeup and all. You know, obviously he's going to fit in, do the dirty work. They like the fact that he's tough. I think he's going to be an unsung hero, but you know, he's not quite the game breaker that I think would make this an A+. We'll see. There's still a couple more days to see if somebody else goes in.
Yeah. When does the portal close?
Friday.
Yes.
Friday. Down to the wire, man.
Yeah. We'll be out. Hopefully we're at the tailgate. You know, when Adonai Mitchell went in, I was at a happy hour with a bunch of IT guys in Austin. Hopefully this time when one of the guys I'm talking about, I'm at a tailgate with a bunch of guys.
We won't even be able to get you on the video.
No, I had
you guys will be all blacked out by that point. We're so excited from the wide receiver hole.
That Adonai Mitchell video was crazy. We had to, I had to shoot that in a truck off one of the side streets. But everybody was going nuts. That was a fun time. Hopefully, we have a similar celebration here because honestly, if one of those wide receivers I've heard about goes in, Texas is going to be the obvious number one team in the country. So. At least going into the season, and I will probably be picking them. There's still concerns I have for the overall roster. We'll get into that plenty down the road, but they've done a great job. And you have to stack this on top of what they did in the winter. We hear Brad Spence's name damn near every practice. And you got a couple other D tackles, big mature guys, and then Hero Canoe, who's got multiple years. Man, I love the plan. I love the approach, and this is why Texas, I say year in and year out, they have the best NIL approach. Maybe there's one year there. They're exceeded by somebody else, but overall, since the advent of NIL, Texas has been the best at using it.
Yeah, and what I really love too with the defensive tackle room, you got good guys that can let our young defensive tackles, who we're very excited about, develop out too.
Yeah.
So I think that matters a lot. Z Holly says, A as it sits right now, but A+ if we can land one more skill player and an interior offensive lineman. What do you think about the offensive line part? Guys,
here's where I'm a little confused because I wrote something on IT last week, I guess it was maybe the week before, and you know, we had sources that felt pretty good about O-line depth. I'm not there. I'm not even close to being there. So I need to hear a lot more about it. I need to research it a lot more. Based on their actions, not a single interior lineman or offensive lineman in general has come up since the guy that picked Oregon in the winter portal, at least that I can recall. Yeah. So that seems to back up what we've heard about their, their comfort and confidence in the O-line. I'm not there personally, but, you know, I know that they feel like there's ways to get around O-line issues this year that there weren't last year. But I'd love to see a journeyman O-lineman, you know, like one of those guys that OU depends on to start, but Texas can bring in for depth. Yeah. I'd like to see somebody like that.
Yeah, that's tough. You know? I'm going to say with O-line, I think – it's spring, right? I think they need more time to gel. But if you bring in a guy who has experience, then bring him in. If you think you need it, get him, especially at the tackle position. So it's spring, right? I know you get, 15 practices, but they're still gelling, trying to find out the right mixture. Who's the starting five? Who's the depth? So give it time to work together. I think those guys continue to work. And maybe you don't need a guy, but if you feel like you need one, bring him in. But let those guys kind of gel and just play together, get used to playing and communicating together. I think that's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
I don't know about this one. So, a lot of people remember Sark's first portal window. He had been on campus about 3 minutes when the portal was open, and they grabbed like Ray Thornton, Brennan Schooler.
Is that the Ben Davis?
Yeah, I wouldn't say he's come a long way. Maybe the whole NIL apparatus has come a ways, to stay at the forefront of it. But, that first year he came in, he was up against it. He didn't even have a staff in place. He had just won the national championship as the offensive coordinator at Alabama. Yeah. He got a very, very late start. Nothing is scouted, so I don't know. I think he's just on his natural progression of probably getting better in every aspect each year, which goes into what I wrote about the other day. When they see a problem, they fix a problem. I wrote an article that we haven't talked about yet because I hadn't been on video as much, but the special teams. Yeah, I feel like they've got teams fixed compared to where it was last year. They see a problem, they fix the problem, they get better at it.
Cool. Jackson Miles, wide receiver and blocking tight end. I think I'm going. You'll hear that?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay. How about now?
Yeah, there's still an echo somewhere.
Okay, I think Eric, mute your microphone. Let's see. All right, am I still echoing, Coach?
All right, I muted him off. I don't hear it anymore.
I think it's from Eric. You don't hear me echoing, right? I do hear him. Okay. Chat, let me know if you hear it.
It's you. Yeah, I think it's you, Connor, because I don't find it.
I find it easy to talk. Yeah.
Oh, this is not TV.
Yeah, bro. No, I don't hear any echo though. I don't hear it anymore.
All right, we got
Connor. Oh, it is me. Okay. Is Eric muted?
I'm still hearing here.
So am I. It's weird. Coach, please discuss this comment I have thrown up.
All right. See, look. We got a tight end. Look, Jack Andrews, is he known as some big physical blocker? No, but he's not afraid to mix up. He has a big body. I think he'll get out there and give it. He'll give it his all. Was Jatavion Sarens the best blocker? No, but he got there. He mixed it up, right? Even Gunnar Helm at some point, like, he mixed it up, and I love Gunnar. But you don't need this big, dominant blocking tight end. I just need somebody to mix it up, right? I don't need you driving a guy down the field 10 yards. I didn't need you getting his way. I got athletes who can make people miss in space. I just need you to get in the way, right? I just need you to lock on and drive your feet for 5 yards, right? 5 steps. That's pretty much it. I don't need this big Gronkowski or type tight end, right? These guys do a whole bunch of things in this offense, right? They mirror. They give you the same looks. It's like they're going to block you, but then they block and release and do a lot of things in this offense. So I just need a guy who's willing to give it his all and drive for 5 yards. That's it, man. That's pretty much it. And as far as receiver, you can go get you a fast, speedy receiver. But the guy we got from Stanford, if you put him in injuries out, maybe in the slot, then you got Wingo and more outside, like you can run 11 personnel that way. Like you can do a lot of things with the guys we got. But, of course, Sark probably wants a home run threaded type receiver in the portal as he's always gotten the past 2 years. But I guess we'll see. But I don't think it's cherry picking. You're just used to what Texas has gotten in the past. That's all.
Testing. It's both of us. Or whatever. Are you guys muting your StreamYard there?
It's unmuted now.
Okay. We'll see. It seems less. Okay. I think I sound good now.
Yeah.
Am I good?
Yeah. To me, you do.
Okay. I think I sound good. I don't hear myself. All right. Let's continue and act like we're all good. We should be good. I think it's just Eric right now.
Is it?
And then one final thing. Coach Top. I'll take a right tackle.
Right tackle.
See in between. I think that's been the big question. I've heard interior, basically left guard and right tackle were the big questions.
Yeah. See, get Brandon Baker over there. I don't know. Let Nick Brooks continue to develop. Maybe he goes play right tackle. Who knows? Like, you got some bodies, man, that you can put over there and just say, hey, let's go play. I can develop you, right? That's what Kyle Flood's known for. But I feel like you got to take a veteran guy who'll be ready for game one versus Ohio State, then do that.
Everybody's telling me my mic is better. I didn't do anything. I'm sitting here in a freaking McDonald's. I haven't done anything. So I don't know. I think they feel good about Brandon Baker. But, you know, again, their actions and our sources don't always align with my intuition, but my intuition is often proven wrong by the sources knowing more than me. So we'll see how it works out. Nick Brooks looked really good in practice yesterday. They had a team blitz period on an island out at left tackle, and he looked really good. So, you know, the guy's got a very bright future. We know he's going to start eventually. We're just not sure exactly when that's going to be.
Will we ever see Robertson? Seems like he's lost in the shuffle. I don't think he's lost in the shuffle. I think he's.
Man, I would love to hear Connor Robertson starting in 2026 after Cole Hudson has exhausted his eligibility. Keep these guys around, and man, you know, every career is different. You don't have to start immediately. Stick around.
Yeah.
Stick to the script, trust in the coaches, and you know, your time is going to come there.
I could be late, but is it for sure deal that Hudson is at center? What about Cruz?
Yeah, you're late on that one. Hudson's at center. Cruz, yeah, probably going to compete next year, 2026, coming along. Tough position to play, but he's definitely a lot better than he was a year ago. We're hearing much better things. You know, we didn't hear hardly anything about him last year, other than having the struggles in the scout team, which was, you know, 18 years old going to get up against Alvin Collins, Vernon, Jermaine. LA. Those guys are like 5 or 6 years older than him in some cases. So, yeah, we're hearing good things about him. Just, you know, he's right on time, I think. But, you know, Cole Hudson has a very big head start.
Good stuff. All right, guys, before we keep going, let's hear from David McClellan.
I'm just going to say, guys, you probably need a fiduciary financial advisor. And I've got the guy for you. His name is David McClellan with Forum Financial. He works broadly and deeply with his clients as a financial life coach. And he should know something about coaching because he won several national championships as a swimmer for the University of Texas. He specializes in financial planning and has contributed numerous articles to Kipling on the topic of retirement tax bombs. So contact David today to be your fiduciary financial planner and schedule a 1 hour consultation to assess your financial situations. The free consultation is available, so just give him a call. The number is 312-933-8823. That's 312-933-8823. His email is also in the description below.
All right, guys. And then the IT community has given our final grade 60%. Went with A. 40% roughly went with B. It's almost like it's a board full of Texas fans. I love fan-specific voting. Even like Twitter accounts, like people will ask. They have an audience of 40,000 Texas fans. They're like, who do you like more, Texas or Texas A&M? And then like 90% is Texas. It just cracks me up. The inverse will never happen where they're like, oh, I hate it. Even though boards can get a little grumpy sometimes. I liked Hudson on the traps and pools. Don't know if his strengths are best utilized at center.
Hey, look, going to a gap scheme, he'd have somebody helping him double team every time. So I wouldn't worry about it too much, honestly. He got some bullies in the trenches now with DJ Campbell, Neto on the other side. If you're double teaming with one of those guys each and every time, I like our chances.
Also, with center, man, you're selecting for a lot of intangible traits too.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, man, who gets put at center matters because there's normally a lot of off the field stuff that's actually going into that.
Definitely.
You got to know what's up. Eric, you mentioned your special teams thing, and that was important. I do want to talk about special teams. Problem solved?
I think mostly. You know, Jeff Banks had a tremendous week last week. Not only did he get a tight end, he got a kicker, and he already addressed punter. So you'll never know how a kicker's going to respond. That kid's going from kicking against UTSA to kicking against Ohio State. But you like that his accuracy is pretty good, and he's got to be – obviously has a strong leg with a long of 60. So here's the thing. Bert Auburn was good to very good in his career before last season. So, you know, nobody's ever going to get me to put my faith in a kicker. It's just not going to happen.
Tom Herman school.
Justin Tucker. I love kickers. I respect what they do. I can't imagine having to respond in that situation. You know, there's no layups. You got – NBA guys that can't hit a free throw from 10 feet away. I mean, so, I've got a lot of respect for them. I just – maybe because I have respect for how hard the job is, that's why I'm not going to put my faith in them. Unless, you know, Justin Tucker in his prime, you know, 49ers fan growing up watching Morton Anderson, I felt like that guy was never going to miss. For the most part, you know, it's just a tough job. But they addressed it. They did what they could. They got the best kicker they could find, and that's all you can ask for. And then, you know, the stuff on the coverage units and the mental mistakes, I think that's going to be addressed too. You know, one of the regrets from last year, I think, is, you know, not playing Michael Taft and Wisner out there more in the higher leverage games. You know, I think we're going to see Taft because of, you know, better depth at safety, and Wisner because of better depth at running back, resume some of those captain roles on special teams. Not in every game. You're not going to see them against the directionals. You know, they're not going to have all those snaps. It's not like Taft's going to be out there doing all the dirty work. He's going to quarterback and make the calls and that sort of thing to make sure everybody's on the same page. But, you know, I think they've always had an emphasis on special teams. I think, like, they didn't really foresee the problems that they had last year. You know, going with Michael Kern was probably an oversight. Again, they don't normally like to put their hands in an inexperienced player, and they did that with Kern. I think that they've taken drastic steps to make sure that they get right back to having one of the best special teams units in the country.
Yeah, we particularly missed punt block too. That'll be interesting to watch punt block. Hey,
yeah, we can back in the secondary, but you know, he was part of those special teams units back in the day too, getting blocking a lot of punts. So The man is back.
Yeah, you know, I think Wisner is going to get some of those looks at punt block that Keelan Robinson got. That was the goal last year. You know, also, you know, Banks is really creative. You know, he's a true coordinator. He's scheming. He's looking for tendencies on special teams. He really takes it seriously. The more athletes that he has, and he has more athletes now than he did last year, he's got more experience now than he did last year, I think he's going to scheme up some good stuff. Ryan Niblett's going to be a mainstay. Warren Roberson's going to be a mainstay. You know, we've heard, you know, Jelani McDonald's going to be out there some. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he's got all the traits you could possibly want on special teams. We heard, you know, Zena Umiazulu is going to be out there some. You know, you want some size out there still, but he can run. You know, I feel really good about special teams going in next year. Outside of the stuff that you just will never know, how is Mason Shipley going to respond under the bright lights?
Yeah. Yeah. And so who is it? Niblett at punt return, and who's at kick return?
Yeah, Niblett at punt returner. Ricky Stewart's been getting looks of late at kick return, but I expect that'll be DeAndre Moore. You know, we've been hearing good things about Ricky Stewart in general, but he's been at kick return. DeAndre Moore, that's going to be his job when he comes back. Yeah, right now it's Ryan Niblett, and I think it's going to stay that way unless they get somebody, you know, in the next couple days. They have a lot of trust in Niblett. He's got good hands, obviously has the toughness, all the toughness you could possibly want. Talk about having to be tough. You got to be tough to punt return. That's why Silas Bolden will forever have my respect. Those guys are crazy. But, you know, Niblett projects very well to that position because on top of everything else, he's got elite speed.
Yep.
Cool.
Can't wait.
Do team recruiting rankings matter if you hit on the right guys? In aggregate, yes, they matter. And there's two tiers to it, right? Like the top three teams are consistently competing for the whole thing. And then also there's like a minimum threshold as well. They're like, once you get to this, and that, so once you pass this threshold, right? Like a Michigan is a good example of a team that wasn't necessarily a top three, but you do have to meet that minimum threshold we've seen historically to even have a shot. So minimum threshold, and then, of course, you want the top. And then, of course, there's a correlation between five stars and NFL hit rate. And so even if you, quote-unquote, don't get the production out of the five-star, you get back-end value because that five-star's traits are going to test well. He'll go to the draft. That'll entice more players to come, all of these kind of things. So, they do. Now, theoretically, if you hit on the right guys, I mean, yeah. By the nature of them being the right guys and hitting on them, maybe there's a way to go around it. But, if the answer is recruiting rankings matter, yes, they do.
I've been writing recruiting for 15 years, and I don't think I could have said it as succinctly as Connor there. Now, here's the thing. I've always called it a micro level. Like, no three-star should ever care that he's rated a three-star. Go out and become a five-star. Play like a five-star. Yeah. On a micro level, it doesn't matter. On a macro level, it certainly matters. These are just simple actuaries. But, you know, let's say, you know, that's what Steve Sarkisian has done an extremely good job of is picking the right three stars. When they do go for three stars, they do it. But Tom Herman was good at that as well. So finding those guys on the margins, I'll go to the grave saying there's very little difference between a guy rated 88 and a guy rated 92, the high three star and the lower four star. There's a lot of play in the joints in finding the right guys in that group of players. And that's a very large group of players. So go find out there. You're going to find, you know, what differentiates them. We always talk about it, the mental eval. Go find the guys that have the right eval that are going to maximize. Then you start getting NFL guys that everybody said, well, he was just a three-star. Well, you know, he shouldn't have been a three-star because guys in the network, and I'll take some of the blame for that myself, is they don't know how a kid is wired. Or they don't know how he's going to mature over time. Or they don't know how he's going to physically mature over time. T'Vondre Sweat never should have been a three-star. Ever. I don't know. I can't remember if he ended up there. I think he did end up as a three. He never should have spent a day as a three-star. So, you know, you miss on projections, physical and mental.
We're talking about mental too, right? I mean, Byron Murphy and Baron Sorrell.
I said Byron. You know, when we went and saw him and Shamar Turner practicing side by side, you could say, obviously Shamar Turner looks more NFL than Byron Murphy, but watching Byron practice and move at his size and seeing a little bit better length than when he was a sophomore, I'm like, that guy's going to the NFL too. He ended up beating Shamar, but it's Baron Sorrell, NFL player. Let me see, who are some of the guys right now you're like, Trey Wisner's gonna end up in the NFL with that mental eval, even if it's not as a down to down running back. You know, they're doing a really good job of finding those guys. Baron Sorrell is a really good one because, you know, he was kind of an afterthought. And that was a Tom Herman find. Oscar Giles recruited him. Tom Herman did a pretty good job on some of those three stars.
Yeah.
Hey, today's recruiting, if you're a three-star, I don't care. Just go somewhere and ball out and then hit the portal. Marad Watson, he was a three-star. Right? I think he was like the 1169 player in the nation when coming out of high school. Now look at him. Yeah. One of the top defensive tackles in the portal. So go prove yourself.
And that's the real art of recruiting, man. Like anybody off the street, I could take you guys to an Under Armour camp and show you an athlete, and you could tell me if he looks like an NFL guy. But once you start getting into those three-star evaluations, that's also why I have a lot of respect for G5 caliber, lower power four caliber, that level of, when you're all you're recruiting is three stars or less, man, that takes a different type of skill. It's a different type of recruiting. So that stuff's cool. So yeah, it does matter, but anybody individually in the sample can go to the league.
Yeah.
It doesn't invalidate the entire process. And like we said, the recruiting services have back tested all of this to make sure that there's actually a correlation here. And every time we find out there is, and there is across every service. So that's a lot of fun. All right, guys. Well, you know what's happening tomorrow evening, and we will have a post first round video. We're going to, I don't know who's going to be on it, but we're going to get a couple of guys together and just talk about how Texas did in the first round tomorrow night. So look out for that. But before we do that, I want to talk what you guys are thinking NFL draft wise. How many first rounders do you think we end up with?
Well, I've checked out. I have not seen the latest mocks. And, you know, I don't, you know, mocks, you talk about things that are hit or miss, mock drafts. Recruiting, recruiting stars are oracles based on compared to mock drafts. You know, I was thinking about where I would take each of these Texas guys. And, you know, I've never been a guy that wants the Texas players to end up on his NFL teams, because I simply want the NFL team to be as good as possible. But I'm looking at this. I'm looking at this group, and I'm salivating over Kelvin Banks. I don't want Kelvin Banks to fall. I wish Kelvin was going one overall. But if the Texans could get him in the first round, man, I would be ecstatic. But I want him to go high just because Kelvin's such a good dude. But you know, staying in his hometown, there's some value there too. I saw one mock that had my Niners taking Shamar Stewart and the Texans taking Walter Nolan, and I started getting my skin started crawling a little bit there.
You know too much about recruiting stories, and that'll end up changing.
Yeah. But, you know, I do think Matthew Golden should find himself in the back half of the first round. I think he's going to be a really, really, really good NFL wide receiver too. With a chance to become wide receiver one, he's going to have the right quarterback to become that. But I think he can be a really good wide receiver too. Jahdae Barron, I would take all day long in the top 15 picks, all day long. Such a high floor. All three of the guys that are going in the first round have a high floor. And I think, you know, Banks is going to go in the first round. I think Banks is going to go higher than before 20. Barron, I think, goes top 15. I think Golden probably goes top 25.
Wow, that's exactly what I was going to say.
Those are my three, too.
Yeah, but down to like 25 and everything. I was like, wow, that's exactly what I thought.
Might see Barron reunite with Terry Joseph in New Orleans. Who knows, man?
That'd be cool, man. That would be super cool. That's going to be – so I agree. I think it's going to be three first-rounders, which also, man, we got to appreciate that. That's cool, man. To be back relevant, we used to have to cover the draft and like, hey man, maybe on day three we can write a story. It's embarrassing when you're at Texas, dude. You nothing's going on in the draft, you know.
Yeah, that 1 year with Charlie Strong, not a single Texas player got drafted. That's insane, right? I would. You know, my joke was, you know, the Niners should draft Quinn in the second so they can play Purdy half the year and Quinn the other half of the year. Because I've had some injury history there. Yeah, I think Quinn would be great with that. Shanahan does a lot of the heavy lifting there, and does a really good job of finding pieces. And you know, they use the whole field. You know, they're gonna throw. They've got obviously one of the best tight ends in the history of football. They always find really tough wide receivers that do a really good job of scouting the athletic guy that slips through the cracks and can get downfield too. That would be a great place for him to land in the second round. I'd be all about that, honestly.
Yeah, my picks for Quinn were for 49ers, Rams, and Detroit, because they all got the similar system. I think Quinn would kill it in that system. So almost similar to what Sark runs.
And Rams would be great, too. Yeah, we talked about that. Any system where he's not going to – or situation where he's not going to be expected to come in immediately and play, I still think he's got work to do on his body. Have time to learn behind somebody that's done it. You know, Jordan Love was a bad pick when it happened, right, because they had Aaron Rodgers.
Oh yeah.
You won't find any Packers fans really griping about that now. You know, you would take that at the second as a late first round pick almost every day.
Yeah. Did you guys get to watch the Gruden video yet? I know Eric hasn't because he's been busy, but did you get to see it, Coach?
Yeah, I saw a couple of clips of it. I haven't watched the whole 40 minutes.
It was just fun to see Quinn's personality. He had a lot of swagger in that video, and so it was nice to see that, you know, because with Texas media, Quinn was not always the most excited to be there, and I get it. It's a tough room, man. But what I saw with him before the Sugar Bowl, that interview at in Dallas, he was really loose, and you got to see his personality. And then in his Gruden one, you get to see his personality. It's pretty cool. It's always cool to watch Gruden teach quarterbacks, and you get to see how they process in real time and all that stuff. So there's been a lot of good draft stuff on Quinn. I suggest everyone go check it out. And there's a plurality. So we got to see. Literally got it queued up. Yeah, go watch it, man. It's interesting. Go watch them all, man. They dropped like, there's like 5 Quinn videos from smart people. I think ultimately, I don't know, probably third round is how it's looking right now. Like they keep putting them in like the mocks are like 70 something.
You go second round because by that time, every team that's drafting is going to have their quarterback of the present. And that opens them up to almost any team, really, outside of, you know, a couple, a certain few. He's open to a lot more teams in the second round than he is to the first round. So I think he's going to go in the second.
I think he's going in the second.
Okay.
Yeah. I've seen who's all Shadur, Cam. They have Jackson Dart ahead of him.
Yeah, Dart's ahead of him. Yeah, some people have Tyler Shuff ahead of him.
I'm pro Shuck, and I'm not afraid to say it.
All right. Yeah, I liked him at Oregon. When he went to Texas Tech, I warned the board. I said, "Hey, this guy's actually good," and then he just kept getting hurt.
If he could stay healthy, he would be fine.
Yeah, man.
He's got all the traits. He's always had them. Eric.
How many years does he have left, man? He's got Chris Winkie's age almost.
Yeah. So he's taking the opposite. It's about traits, though. They see the tall guy, the big arm, and the NFL can't help themselves.
He's not horrible, Blake. Don't you say that. But he has all the traits, and I get it, man. This is purely putting my projection hat on. And if he could stay healthy, it would be a totally different thing. But as far as arm ability, size, look strong in the pocket, all that stuff, he's had it. I mean, there's a reason why Oregon to Tech, like, teams want him, but I'm pro Shuck. I don't know if I'm pro Shuck in front of Quinn or anything like that, but I think he's an interesting quarterback.
It's such a crapshoot.
Go watch his combine throws. I will not, Blake. I will not watch his combine throws.
It's a crapshoot. Who drafts you matters more at quarterback than any position in any sport.
Yeah. But okay. And then do we know who's kind of mocked to get Quinn? Is it the systems that we've talked about?
I'm not sure. I haven't seen the most recent mocks. I actually have that on IT to go through that thread, which our guy Fuddy is, you know, nonstop updating the board on that. I got to get caught up on all the mock stuff, which I need to do because I need to write about this draft with it coming up in 2 days. Wait, what's today? Today's what? Tomorrow. Yeah, time is flying. I'll be in Austin tomorrow night, watch it with some IT guys, then get ready for that Academy tailgate Friday. It's going to be a fun couple of days. But, yeah, I need to get caught up on the draft real quick, see what Dane Brugler and Daniel Jeremiah are saying.
Yeah, there's a website that takes all mocks in totality and ranks them. That I like to look at. I can't remember the name of it, but it also will tell you, like, who's a professional, who's a media, all that stuff. But once you take everything together, you see a good – picture, and I enjoy that because looking at any individual mock is tough. I've seen Quinn mock to Seattle. I've heard Seattle too. Las Vegas, New Orleans, and the Jets.
Don't do that to Quinn. Please don't do that to Quinn. Good Lord.
The Jets, huh?
Yeah. We'll see that one.
New Orleans going to have keen insight on them. You know, Terry Joseph and Bo Davis are going to know exactly what Steve Sarkisian thinks about Quinn years, so that'll be interesting. Jets, yeah, I don't know, man.
To maximize Quinn, you need to be smart and don't throw him in the fire and have him systematized early.
Yeah.
He's coming to my Raiders, unfortunately, for him. It's kind of how I felt about the Cowboys when they were talking about Golden. I was like, don't
do it.
Yeah.
I don't want to root against it.
I like the Cowboys, man. But when it comes to Texas players, I'm like, man, go wherever the best possible situation is for you.
Absolutely. It's better for the school when they end up at the best situation. You know, you're a Cowboys fan. If Golden tears it up for the Eagles, that's good for Texas, even though it's bad for you.
Well, there's some of the selfishness, right? You're like, well, I want Jhede and Banks and all of them to go 1, 2, and 3. But realistically, I like that our guys are later in the first because they're more than likely going to end up in better situations as well. And that matters to me too. Okay, so we talked about our first round guys. Who do we think is going in the second? Quinn, I think you mentioned Collins. You think Collins is a second round talent early?
I think Alfred Collins will go in the second. Too big, too much, you know. It's not the easiest mental eval. As a pure player, he's got a very high floor. Now you got to make sure that, you know, he's motivated and all that. I think he's a lot. He's come a long way from when he first got to Texas in that regard. Still, maybe just a minor risk there. But I just think he's too uncommon. We always talk about scarcity in the portal at D tackle. The NFL has the same problem with scarcity. Other than there's a zillion D tackles this year, more so than normal. That's normally not the case. There's still a ton of value being 6'5", 330 pounds, and ability to move like him. And his anchor has gotten so much better over the years.
And I talked with Paul yesterday. We're trying to break the Texas record. And the Texas record was last year with 11, correct? 11 or 12?
Last year was 11.
Okay. And so I think we break the Texas record this year with 13.
They're going to break the record. I feel really strong about that. I'm going to write this up, but part of it in an article. I would take Makuba in the first round. I think the guy's going to be
an absolute, I love him too, man.
An absolute star. You know, obviously the deep coverage is huge, and that's all the rage in the NFL, having guys with the range, ball skills. But also, despite his size, that guy will come downhill and hit. That's kind of what puts him over the top for me, is that he has NFL physicality, even though he needs to add a couple more pounds. I would take him in the first round. I think Andrew Cooper is going to be a star in the NFL.
Man, that's tough. I love Makuba, though. I love his game. I like what he can do. I think he's versatile because he has some experience playing nickel too. So I think a defense can kind of move him around the NFL, and per matchup, he can cover man-to-man, but he can play deep zone. So I don't know, man. That's a chess piece in the secondary for anybody who gets
him. If I have to defend Patrick Mahomes, I want a guy like Makuba back there. You know, Mahomes is still going to make his plays, but you've got a better chance with Makuba's range.
Yeah. Where do you think the cutoff is? I think our last guy to get drafted is Vernon Broughton.
No, he'll go in the third.
Gavin Holmes, maybe?
So we have it. This is based on an article we did yesterday, Power Ranking. It's not where they go in their draft order. But this will be easier for you guys because you guys didn't have to go through this whole article with us yesterday. Do you think Hayden Connor gets drafted?
Oof. See, that's a question mark for me because I think NFL teams will probably see potential at center as well as guard. Man, that is 50-50. Mm-hmm. I love Hayden, so I'll go, yeah.
So Hayden's what would make it 14 for us. Because we were trying to get to 15 to match Georgia. So we're confident on everyone besides Hayden Connor, Silas, Benda, Lole.
Yeah, I don't know. Benda could get drafted because he's going to have special teams value in addition to linebacker. He could be like your fifth linebacker and a special team stud, and he, you know, runs and hits. So yeah, I don't know. I could see Benda going in the seventh.
That's what we need. So it's like we need Connor, Silas, or Benda. Two out of those three, that'll get us to 15 to tie Georgia. But you know, if only one of those, we get to 14. So those are the players. I think everybody else, I feel just completely confident running through that. That would end up being Kelvin, Jhede, Golden, Alfred, Isaiah Bond, Quinn Ewers, Makuba, Jake Majors, Gunnar Helm, Cam Williams, Jaden Blue, Baron Sorrell, Vernon Broughton. Those would be our 13. Then I'm like, okay, without a doubt.
Yeah.
So, I think Z Holly has Broughton in the fourth or fifth. I think Broughton, I can see third to fifth for Broughton.
Yeah.
Lole is going to be a GA.
Yeah, he's going to be a GA. Mm-hmm.
I don't think Majors or Connor get drafted. Majors will get drafted.
I think Majors. We played too much football. He's smart. I mean, yeah.
Center's a different eval too, man. Like the intangibles matter at center too.
It does. So you never know, man. Sark is good buddies with a ton of these NFL guys, and they trust Sark's development, what he's done. So you've seen a ton of times, time and time again, a team would draft a player late if he trusts the development of a coach somewhere. Like, I can take this guy. He can add value to my roster. So that's why I think Majors and Connor have a chance of getting drafted.
Yeah, Sark's makes me nervous at those pro days because he's hobnobbing with all the NFL guys. And I'm like, oh, man, they see him as an equal. Sark, stay put.
Yeah. Like, hey, you want to go on this golf trip? No, I got to go recruit.
Yeah. Hey, keep it professional. Quit talking to him. Keep it moving. But you see, like, when we were filming, all the NFL coaches are hanging around him, and they're all laughing and stuff. And I'm, like, getting weird and jealous. Like, stay away, Dolphins. You don't get them. But, man, it's cool. We're in a great spot to enjoy the NFL draft and then what it does for your program.
Yes.
Also, we've seen what development does, but also, man, you need talent. It takes talent to get here. It's not all about heart that fans have this thing for. This is what you need, man. You need to be questioned at the end of the year. Are you going to tie Georgia? Are you going to get 13 drafted? That's where the real difference is. But I'm excited. And like I said, tomorrow night we will be doing a post first round. You guys have any final things to discuss?
Nope. I got my Makuba take out of the way. I was worried I was going to forget that.
Yeah.
If you want to go watch Merrill Watson's tape versus Washington State, watch him chase around John Mateer, which he's going to do in October when they play OU. He had him running for his life, so get used to that.
Yeah. They dropped a Mateer highlight that looked pretty cool. It was a pass to Deion Burks over the middle from their spring scrimmage practice thing. So it should be fun, man. OU has some more intrigue than they definitely did last year. Eric, I didn't get to ask you about David Stone. What did you think about that whole thing?
Oh, man, yeah. I mean, that's a negative culture indicator at OU, which I think has been a bit of a problem already. Hey, you know, whatever Brent Venables has to do to save his job, I'm all for.
Yeah. No Dillingham. No Dillingham.
No Dillingham. I don't want Dilly in Norman.
That. All right, Eric, we will free you from your McDonald's cell that you're in.
I'll have Wi-Fi for – well, you know, I'll be in Austin for inside the program, so I don't know. Who knows? I could be in an Austin McDonald's. I don't drink coffee otherwise. You know, I understand Starbucks, but yeah. I'll be on the road next
Eric's
time.
A man of the people, guys. He's more a McDonald's guy.
Oh, yeah. Hey, okay. McDonald's for breakfast, you can get out of there for 400 calories. I promise I have a house, and we'll have Wi-Fi shortly.
Yeah, Eric has a house, guys. Hey, guys, don't forget, man. Friday's going to be awesome. Come to the tailgate. Inside Texas, on the board, we have all the latest notes. And, of course, we'll keep promoting it, guys. It's going to be awesome. And like I said, this matchup is going to be electric. Number one Texas, surging Texas A&M, and we know all the drama of Coach Sloss.
I hope our winner has a truck. I'm going to be loading that thing up. Game day. I'm dropping that thing off. I'm not shipping that thing across Texas. You better have a truck if you win it.
Yeah. All right, guys. This was brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Have a great day, everyone. Peace.